ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading today from the first canto, chapter 8, text 26. Janmaishvaya Shuta Shribir. Edamana Madapuman. Naivar hatya bidatum vai. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Janmaishvaya shuddha shribir. Idamana mada puma. Naivar hatya bidatum vae. Tvama kinchana gochara. Janmaishvaya Shuddha Shribir. Edamana Mata Puma. Naiva Hatya Vidatum Vae. Vama kinchana gochara.
Vama kinchana gochara.
Yes, please. Dhamana madapuman. Please. Birth. My dear devotees, is it all right if we just have a fresh gust of oxygen? I know it's a little austere for just 2 minutes. Don't think you will catch a cold. It is very, very good for your health. Oh, but it is cruel. Aishwarya,
Aishwarya,
opulence,
opulence.
Shruta,
education,
Shribhi,
by
the possession of beauty,
Edamana,
progressively increasing,
Madaha,
intoxication.
Puman,
the human being.
Na,
never.
Eva,
ever.
Arhati,
deserves.
Abhidatum,
to address in feeling.
Vai,
certainly.
Tvam,
you.
Akinchana
gocharam, one who is approached easily by the materially exhausted man. I would like to give you the context before we read the verse. It is a prayer by a person in transformation. It is a prayer by Queen Kunti. It is a very moving prayer, which you will find in the 8th chapter. You can imagine she has just survived maybe the greatest trauma for a mother. Queen Kunti, as you all know, had been given early, when she was a child, by her father to her childless friend. You know, it's not just today that more couples cannot conceive children. This is a problem which was there in old age also. So one way it was solved, and it is can be solved, is by the process of adopting a child. So Maharaj Kunti Bhoja was childless, but he wanted very much to have a child. So a child was given to him, and this was the young Kunti, very young Kunti. She was given away at a young age so that it would not be traumatic for her to change parents, but she grew up with this loving care of Kunti Bhoja, was married to a very qualified husband, Pandu, yes, Maharaj Pandu. But it seems the pattern repeated itself. Pandu could also not conceive a child for various reasons. I will not go in the detail. So also a special arrangement needed to be done in Kunti's case, just like she had been part of a special arrangement of not obtaining children in the way it's normally done. So she had a mantra, and we all know she called the demigods to give her birth to children, to six children, six Pandavas, not five. There was an extra. Who was it?
Karna,
yes. So, but because the circumstances of giving birth to Karna had been so extraordinary, she was not married at that time, and society would not be in favor of an unmarried woman just suddenly getting a child from someone. She abandoned her child and gave him away. It is very moving to hear her last words in parting. She put her little boy, who had brilliant earrings from birth and a kavachai, a shield here, which was a golden shield which protected him, she put him into the basket and she whispered in his ear, "I will recognize you, your mother will recognize you. When I see you again, I will recognize you by your earrings and your kavacha." So that little boy was drifting down the Ganga, and Kunti was inconsolably, you know, her first child, and she had to give him away because the rules of the society would not allow her to bring this child up normally. So yes, Krishna. She recognized Karna years later, but Karna, her boy, who did not know his mother and who did not know the other sons of Kunti, had a deadly animosity. He was a sworn enemy to his brothers, the five Pandavas, and she was tortured. I think that we can understand a mother who sees that her own sons are ready to kill themselves. That is intolerable. And it came like this in the armed conflict between her Arjuna and her Karna. Karna was killed. And there's this moving scene at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, where all the participants now come and give cremation or provide a cremation to those soldiers who have fallen. Kunti tells her sons, "There is one last funeral which needs to be done by you." Yes, mother, who is it? "Well, you have to..." And then she breaks down. "What is it, mother?" asked Yudhishthira. "Well, you have to give a cremation to your own brother." "What, mother? We are the Panch Pandavas and we are all alive by your blessings and Krishna's mercy." "No," says Kunti, "there is a sixth Pandava." "A sixth Pandava? Who is the sixth Pandava?" Kunti says, "Your elder brother." "Our elder brother? Yudhishthira is the eldest." "No, Karna is my firstborn son and your eldest brother." It must have taken the Pandavas a few moments to understand the impact of your brother. Can you understand what went on in the heart of Yudhishthira? What went on in the heart of Arjuna? They knew Karna was a righteous person. Yes, he was sometimes temperamental, like Kshatriyas are, but all over he was following Dharma. Yes. That now he had been killed by Arjuna. Arjuna fainted. Yudhishthira just broke down, and when he broke down after he got up, he said, "I will curse now all women, not just you, mother, all women." The earth was shaking. What would be that curse? I think even modern women are suffering a little bit from this curse. Listen, he said, I curse you that by your nature you will not be able to keep a secret in your heart. You will tell it to someone, your best friend, and he will tell it to the best friend like this. It will leak out. You're laughing. It is not something to be laughed. It's something to be thought about deeply. No? So yes. So Kunti, after she had told this secret and after she had gone through the turmoil of a woman, and now she's even cursed by her, by Yudhishthira. You know, Kunti is now exhausted with material life. How are you? I think you look full of hopes for your material life. I can see many plans. Ooh, many plans to become successful on your path. Good education. Some of you are extremely beautiful, like... I don't want to say names, otherwise everyone will laugh and it will be all over Facebook. Some of you come from good families. Some of you have really plans to become influential. Yes, why not become an influencer in this world? Queen Kunti is now saying something. She was a queen, she had all this, but she had seen, realistically seen, that this material world was not a place for her to become happy. And she now says, would you like to hear what she says? It's very interesting, my dear devotees, if you see it with this context, if you see the person who speaks, if you understand where she is coming from in simple English, no? Or you know, what she has experienced that makes her make such a statement. This is very good to see that. So she says, my dear Lord, she talks to Krishna, who's standing right in front of him, of her. My dear Lord, Tvam, you, here, you. Can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. She says it's simple to come to you, Krishna, but not for those who have material plans. One must be exhausted. One must say, oh, I saw it and it did not make me happy. One who is on the path of material progress and who tries to improve himself with his respectable parentage, you know, aristocracy or good birth, great opulence, wealth, money, no? High education, knows a lot, and bodily beauty, someone who is trying to improve himself with these four things, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. He can't have feelings in his heart. He will say, Krishna, save me, but he doesn't mean it. He has no feelings. He says, good. I say this because this is what we say in this movement. But he's not sincere. Purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. So you are materially advanced if you have a good birth, if you have some money, if you have some education, and if you look decent, you know, have some personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up and intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of saying the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda,
O
Krishna. Yes, your devotees, you are very qualified. It is said in the Shastras that by only once saying the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of saying the holy name of the Lord. There's not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, Prabhupada says, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But, now comes the big but. Listen to the big but. There is a quality to such utterances also. What he says is, the quality is required. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless person can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord. Oh Krishna, please accept me. Whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. You know, not so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancements, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education and attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure Prabhupada now gives a reason. I mean, this is a very, very strong statement, especially in a movement which becomes more and more a congregational movement, where the people in the movement are definitely interested in having material influence. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature. It's external. It has nothing to do with you. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by mild treatment, by bad treatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. You know, that means everything is taken away from them. This is no discouragement. No. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachayani Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askatyate Satayani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Sadigo Bhaktamir Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna. I want to affectionately welcome you for this last lecture on the art of prayer, or it has a subtitle, Prayer is the Key that Unlocks the Heart of the Lord so that a lot of mercy comes there. We, I think, all will agree very readily that if the mercy of Krishna descends on us, a blind man can see the stars, a lame man can cross mountains, and a fool can speak eloquently. Mercy can make things happen which are otherwise not possible to have, but by mercy or by kripa, mission impossible is very much possible. I think there was a movie series. I have not direct experience, but I've heard. We all know Mission Impossible. There's some mission which some person, maybe a strong lady, had to fulfill, and somehow she reached Mission Impossible. No? Or Mission Impossible, we say like this. Becomes possible not by our own strengths, but it is possible by Krishna's strengths, our Mission Impossible. So therefore, prayers are said to when you understand we need now some mercy which comes from above and helps me to face my challenges in life and to solve my own challenges in life. I think throughout the cultures, people have prayed. May I ask you the question, when could you pray in the best way? Did you remember the time when you prayed and it was really, you felt, well, this was now, I was really praying. You pray sometimes? I think we all do, no? It is part of devotional service, and it comes somehow naturally at times. But when does it come naturally? If when there is a feeling like desperate, this is a strong word which you use, desperation. Yes, but you feel something is lacking. You can't do it on your own. The world's most successful program to help people get away from addiction to alcohol, addiction to, you know, work to achieve things. People can become addicted. I can imagine this program will soon take up internet addiction. That's a huge problem for many people. I don't know, how do we call it, internet addiction? Games, video games, WhatsApp. It's for many people, that's the last thing they do before they go to bed. And the first thing they do when they get up, check their messages, just like a heroin addict, in the evening and in the morning. You know, it's an addiction. Addiction means you can't help it. You see, it's not appropriate, it's not nice, but it's not good for me even. But it pulls you. So the most successful program in the world, it started with Alcoholics Anonymous, now it's all the other addictions anonymous, is the first principle is you go to the Lord and say, I can't solve this on my own. I recognize that I'm not able to solve this on my own, and therefore I'm now turning to you. This is a prayer which they say. It's part of the program. You do this. I understood it like this from one of my disciples who was addicted to alcohol before coming to Krishna consciousness. You really say this every day. It's your mantra, so to say. I can't solve this on my own. Please help me. You are almighty. You can help. And so then when you start like this, your prayers are likely to be heard and answered as well. And here the same thing that is expressed. A person who is, you know, so addicted to material life, you know, wealth and beauty, some of our Matajis will be able to educate you that how long it takes to put up a makeup and to take it down and how to dress, you know. It is a big expense. It's a huge industry around material beauty even trying to improve your beauty and your public appearance or, you know, making money. I have seen in our own circle devotees getting totally attached to money and losing their perspective on reality, or you know, becoming very much getting into education and trying to really excel and learn and so on, and parentage. I find myself saying that sometimes I think and I hope I'm from a high family. My family is not so high, you know, but I'm bragging in the public with this. I have a good background. I'm a cultured man. You know, this also not good. This covers the reality of you being a soul who leaves at the time of death all the things behind and going and missing sometimes the shelter of Krishna at this time. So the beginning point of prayers, when you really want to enter the prayer, this is what Kunti says, if you need to understand your feelings must be saved. You can't invest in material progress too much. Better address the Lord with feeling and invest in that relationship. That will be better for your spiritual life. That is what she is saying. You might like to study this purport again. It's a very rich purport, bringing a big point to our attention. So, in praying, there are actually three types of prayers which are found in the scriptures. And understanding these prayers can help you to compose your own prayer when you stand before the deity and making sure you will be heard. It starts all with Sampratanatmika, a prayer where you go to the Lord with wholehearted surrender of body, mind, and soul, and you ask Him first of all that your love for Radha and Krishna is awakened. This is the first necessity. When we pray, we have to ask first that some feeling comes into us, that our dead intelligence and our attached mind and our attached senses turn away from what is binding us. We have to really ask in the beginning that we have to turn around and say, oh my God, Krishna, yes, I know you are there, but I unfortunately have not so much feeling for you. I noticed this morning. I was sitting down in my room before the deities, and I was trying to chant, but what I could see is my mind was full with the conversations I had in the last day. Some of them, problematic conversations where I could see problems in the devotee world were there and needed to be solved. They needed an urgent solution. And I was still, it was going on. Oh, so all these problems which I heard yesterday were eating my heart, and I was praying, oh Krishna, I want to chant, but my mind is all with the last day. Please help me to awaken some love here, some feeling for you, that this chanting is not just so mechanic and so dead and so distracted that I think all the time about he cheated her and all these things, Please help me. Give me something in the heart. Krishna. Sampratanatmika. A prayer with wholehearted surrender of body, mind and soul for awakening love for Radha and Krishna. Now, Prabhupada says it's a very feelingly offering prayers. So you must first have these feelings in you. And it's very difficult to get these feelings on your own. Do you see that? We are sometimes so distracted. Now in the lecture, I see 5 devotees struggling with their tiredness. How will they listen to the lecture? It will be one torture for them. And I request you, if it is a you're very tired, you may take your sleep. I don't want to torture you this morning at all. So, Dainya Bodhika is the next step. It is where you step before the Lord and making your own insignificance and worthlessness known to Krishna. To say it in simple ISKCON language, but you need to unpack this language, adopting a humble state of mind. No, but what does this mean? You have to, first of all, face your insignificance, and you have to look at your, in spiritual terms. I know you are very qualified in many ways. I know, and you are good people. I know you're extraordinarily good. I'm not saying it in a wrong way, not meaning it. But I'm now speaking from a spiritual perspective where we are not yet where we should be after all these years. No? You face this problem. I'm not really advanced in my life. I'm still so attached. And you make known your insignificance. You face it. My dear devotees, this is very difficult, I know. But only those who can face their own lowliness, who are not in illusion about themselves, and who don't need to make a smoke screen about them, they can approach the Lord very easily. Those who can't face that, who don't want to go there, who don't want to look at this, they will not be able to get the highest treasure. No? Facing your own insignificance is a sign of inner strength. It's not a sign of weakness. And you will see, those who have really our admiration, also in our movement, like a devotee like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, or Indradumna Maharaj, or so many devotees, when you meet them, you will find people who are really working at their hearts. You will not find people who say, I reached the goal. No. They are strong people. They are ready to look at this. It's called Dainya Bodhika, not the second step. I will give you examples that it's easy. And the last is Lala Samayi. I find this very nice. It's yearning for... it's desiring some perfection. It usually relates to the desiring the personal service of Radha and Krishna. At this time, one will naturally express their feelings in the heart in the form of prayers to Radha and Krishna. Oh, Radha and Krishna, yes, you have asked, please awaken my love, awaken me with some attachment. I want some feeling. I want to be not a sleeping member. I want to be a waking member of the Hare Krishna movement. I want to be, yes, something is there. Then, oh, Hare Krishna, if you look at me, you will not find many qualifications. I'm very unqualified and insignificant. But still you will say, oh, please allow me to render service to you. Please allow me one day. No? So there are examples which are given by Rupa Goswami, the three types of prayers. And if you listen to the examples and understand the mood of these prayers, you will see what this means. What was the first type of prayer, if I can ask you, to just see if I'm clear or... Sampra. Yeah, you asked that the feelings of love are awoken, no? Divyana Singha, that we need that. We have so many other feelings, but you want some feeling for Krishna. So a good example is given by Rupa Goswami. I'm taking this from Prabhupada's translation. My Lord, I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys. No? Yesterday I asked the children, what would you like to be? One girl said, very nicely, I want to be a mama. And I was a little telling the kid, you know that you need a papa for this? yes, she was fully aware. My Lord, I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys. And I also know that young boys have natural affection for young girls. My dear boys, or men, do you know this? Is it with you also? Or are you knowing? Is this a good example you can relate to? Or is this too? Are you not advanced enough to understand this? I think we can understand. It's sometimes problematic because sometimes it's not appropriate. So the devotee now says, I know there is this electricity between young girls and young boys and vice versa. Now, I am praying at your lotus feet. This gets interesting. I pray at your lotus feet that my mind may become attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way. You don't need to tell a young man, see, these are ladies, and you know there is this is some family planning is appropriate in your age, you know, and maybe you should look in this direction with interest, you know, or you don't need to tell. There's a spontaneous attraction. It comes even into young children. It is very normal. It is very correct that this is there. This is how we are built as human beings. But here the devotee says, this is on one level, on the spiritual level, it is also very normal. I'm also very much built in this direction, that I have the same spontaneous attraction for you, Krishna. And because I don't feel this at the moment, I'm in trouble. Therefore, I'm praying to you, please give me some feeling. I beg for your mercy. Let me get some genuine devotion into my heart. This is how you start your prayer session. Because remember, your words should be, what should they be? Heart deep, not just saying it. I think we as a movement need to think about transporting our knowledge, which is highly impressive, into the practical dimension of our life, in our you know, where we want to live like this, no, where we want to feel like this. Second prayer was making known your, what was it, the Dainya Bodhika? Yes, you are actually listening. What happened to you? You know, submitting oneself with humility, it means you make known to Krishna. You are frank, you are open about it, you face it. You make known your own insignificance. There's a prayer from Padma Purana, which Prabhupada quotes. My dear Lord, this needs some music because it's intense. My dear Lord, there's no sinful living entity who's more of a sinner than myself. Nor is there a greater offender than myself. I'm so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I'm actually ashamed. So this is Dainya Bodhika. No? It is making known your own insignificance and worthlessness. I know our mind, the way our material mind works is we overlook our mistakes and our problems. How we cheated here, how we, you know, were speaking lies there, how we were selfish here, and so on. And what we do is we enlarge our own qualities, good qualities, which are there, undoubtedly. How we helped someone here, how we did a selfless service in the temple during the Sangha Mela, which we did. This is all very good, and so on. But we don't, no one likes, and it is a normal psychology. How can you live with yourself when you look at your own mistakes all the time? You become depressed, no? So the normal function, just like our life is normally functioning, we go towards survival and happiness, normal function. We try to go to positive things. No? I know people who always speak positively because they just don't like the negative energy and don't want to go even there. I know very advanced devotees also who are built like this. And it is maybe a little bit, yeah, it stands out. Maharaj, shouldn't we see the positive? Yes, by all means, all the time. But when you are going before the Lord, when you are standing and you want His mercy, you need to take the right position of a receiver of mercy. When you are, and that works best. This is the human experience. If you are feeling, I need, there is an urgent need for me. Yes. So this is the Dainya Bodhika. And the last is Lala Samayi. Lala Samayi, let me find this here. It's a very nice book on prayer by His Holiness Yadunandan Swami. It's called Narottama Shiksha, and I'm really impressed by his work. It is desiring some perfection. Don't think that these two steps are so hard, you know. Oh my God. No, this is becoming real. But now you also do the next step. You're ready. I don't want any material goal. I want very much a spiritual goal. Narada Pancharatra gives an example, which is quoted by Rupa Goswami and by Prabhupada, of course. My dear Lord, listen to this. I make another music for this. It's more optimistic sound, no? My dear Lord, when shall that day come? When shall that day come? When you will ask me a question. You will ask me to fan your body according to your pleasure. You will say to me personally, you just fan me in this way. The idea, writes Prabhupada, the idea in this verse is that the devotee is desiring to personally fan the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means that he is desiring to become the personal associate of the Supreme Lord. That is what it means. Oh, he wants to be with Krishna. So these are these type of prayers you will find in Narottamdas' work, both in Prarthana, songs of prayer and loving devotion, and Bhakti Chandrika. You will find Narottamdas repeatedly going through these three types. A prayer where he asks that love is awakened in his heart. A prayer where he makes known his own significance, insignificance, and worthlessness. And a prayer where he yearns for some personal service. There's a saying in German. Can I say it in German and then in English? Yeah, it's quite interesting. Die größte Schwierigkeit des Menschen besteht darin, wie Engel zu denken und auch wie Engel zu handeln. I'm saying it now in English. The greatest difficulty of the human being is to think like an angel and to also act like an angel. It doesn't mean here the winged angels which we saw yesterday. Did you see the last scene when Franciscus went back home, back to Godhead, and while it was so wonderful how he prayed, and then there were little angels around him. I remember our own Mandali from Neuruppin was flying very beautifully all over the place. Yes, that is nice for children play, but normal to be like an angel means to think divine thoughts. That's the biggest difficulty, says this verse, of the human being, to think divine thoughts. We are so much covered with negative thinking, it is just fatal heißt tödlich. And then to act divine. We can see this. It's so rare when we can stand like an angel before Radha Madan Mohan praying. Oh, please help me. It's so rare. But in prayer, my dear devotees, and that's why it's so good to pray the prayers of the Acharyas. In prayers, we actually speak these words. And remember Krishna Kirtan, who never disappoints any lecturer. He always has a good question to every lecturer. He said, what if we just, can we just fake it and then make it? There's an English word, fake it and then you make it. No? How do we say in English? Fake it until you make it. Yes. Yes, you can act as if you are. That was also yesterday that we talked to a very wonderful devotee who knows everything about empathy and compassion. I mean, everything I think no human being can know, but a lot. And she said her patients are usually easily cured. She has difficult trauma patients, for instance, are easily cured if she tells them, why don't you behave like this? And then they may still have all these emotional problems, but by acting in the right way, then the good feeling comes in. We human beings are like this. There are studies about faking until you make it, about being happy. You might say, we can't fake to be happy. You can. What you do, if you really want to fake it, you take a pen like this, put it for 3 hours when you do your academic work in your mouth, and your lips, which are normally here, will go like here, as if you smile. After some time, the brain gets the signal happiness, and it emits the happiness hormone serotonin. And you feel, oops, I was so depressed. Without, it's for free, this type of happiness. I don't recommend it. I never did it. I will never do it. I think I will not give in to these mechanistic approaches to reality. I don't think it's good to take a happiness pill unless you are in a severe depressed state where you need help. Better is you do it naturally, like and so on. But yes, there are prayers where you fake it. You repeat the prayers of great devotees. Like, for instance, the Sampratanatmika prayer, the prayer for awakening attachment to the Lord. You go to Narottam, and he says so nicely, O Radha, O Krishna, you're both known to be so kind-hearted and so merciful. I'm offering this prayer before you, and I pray that you may glance mercifully on me. And then he says, why don't we sing this? Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna. Jaya Radhe,
Jaya Krishna.
Jaya Radhe Krishna. Jaya Jaya Radhe Krishna. Krishna
Krishna.
Jaya Jaya Shri Radhe. He says, I always say to you, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Jai Radhe Krishna. I say, Krishna Krishna, Jai Jai Radhe. I'm folding my hands and placing them on my forehead. And I'm falling to the ground like a stick. And I pray, please, Kohedenho Pura Mono Sadhi, please, please fulfill my innermost heart's desire. No. A beautiful prayer. So you can pray this, and as you pray it, you think, my God, what am I saying? Ooh, I'm saying this. I can't believe I'm saying this. Yes. And then you begin, if you're not already too much spoiled by mechanistic devotional service, you begin to think, what does this mean? What has it to do with my life? It switches. It stops being an entertainment and it becomes your own expression. It stops being just an information which you receive. It becomes your own heartfelt expression. And now you can pray. You have made a switch from the material platform. You are now in the space where you can pray very nicely. So this is an example of, I don't want to say here, the sentence which you have of doing something although you don't yet feel for it, and then the feelings come. Then later you can pray also other things which are on your mind. I would like to now sing with you one prayer. It is a prayer for perfection. Do you have the song sheets? We will distribute song sheets. We are a temple. We try our best. So five or so devotees have to look into one. I would also, Gorari, oh, you have more. Oh, wonderful. Everyone has a prayer sheet. If not, you can look in the shoulder of your neighbor. Yes, and nowadays there are these modern telephones. You can make a photograph and look, and then you have it on your mobile telephone and you can send it on WhatsApp. That's a tremendously good project. Let something spiritual go through the mobile phone. It's very good. I mean, I know all the time you download books and read books. It's all right, yes. I want to just introduce the song with you so that you read it with or sing it with understanding. Narottama has a vision. He sees a Ratnavedi. Ratnavedi means a throne of jewels. It's on the banks of the Yamuna. There is a very beautiful breeze flowing by, fragrant with the flowers of Malati and so on, jasmine and all. And on this jeweled throne, he sees in his mind's eye the divine couple Radha and Krishna together with the Sakis, their companions. And it's hot, so he puts sandalwood on the bodies, which has a good fragrance, and he puts that nice substance, sandalwood with good fragrance, on the arms and so on to give coolness. And then he looks at the faces of Radha and Krishna. He serves the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in many ways. So this is a prayer to come one day to this perfectional stage. It's a evergreen hit in ISKCON. You will see it everywhere it's sung. It is safe to sing it. Yes.
Radha Krishna.
Radha Krishna Anamoda Yugala Kishore.
Radha Krishna
Nivane manane gate saranai mora Go Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo. Thank you very much, Gokrishna. Do you also think it's so nice when Gokrishna sings? No, we feel so, yes. So this is something of the world of Narottam Das Thakur. As I review my own lecture, I am naturally inclined to be my own versus critic. I'm a little bit concerned here that the words which we read from the Bhagavatam, you know, how these material aims can cover our bhakti is a little, it's very unmodern to think like this. I request you to see it from another perspective than you have. When you put a pot into the rain, it cannot get rainwater if it is closed. You know, if you put it, in other words, upside down with the open side on the earth, it cannot collect the rainwater, although it is pouring down all over. So the humility, sincere, you know, praying with feelings is like turning the pot of our heart around. We are no longer closed. We are very open now. We are requesting, we are begging, we are feelingly offering prayers. And at that time, the Lord is very inclined. There is one little secret which is, I find it paradoxical and therefore difficult to understand with the mind. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, this is what Krishna Das Kaviraj says, flows like a great river. Sometimes it's Madhurya Katambani, a rainfall, inundating the entire universe. And just as a river flows downstream, Lord Chaitanya especially extends himself to the fallen. This is different than material thing. In material life, you need to be very, qualified. And sometimes we feel we need to impress others with our qualities, to be appreciated. I'm a little intelligent, and I'm and giving my best. And in the material field, of course, people like to dress very impressively. There are rules which you can learn from. Also, some of our devotees who are working in the professional world can tell you what's a no-go and what's a go-go. So in material field, this is it. But in spiritual world, you can be frank and free. Relief, relax. Prabhupada even says, the more fallen one is, the greater is one's claim. Claim in German language means Anspruch. The greater is one's claim to the favor of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must be only very sincere and serious. Prabhupada says in another purport, he says, one must be frank and open. No? The pot must be open. No? And he says at another time, it's you don't need to be ashamed that you may. Yes, in some ways we should be ashamed of what we did. But he says it's not a wonder that the conditioned soul has committed sin. And this should be admitted and confessed before the Lord. As soon as this is done, the Lord excuses the sincere devotee. You know, he's Patita Pavana, not Kapati Pavana. Patita means Pavana means the fallen, the savior of the fallen, but Kapata Pavana would mean the savior of the pretenders. He's not known as the savior of the pretenders. He's known as the savior of those who are fallen and who admit and confess. Like this. So I'm not now saying please go out and do all kinds of incredible low-class things, and then you're... No, that's not the idea. It's about being honest about one's disqualification and, of course, trying his best to be on the right track. Yes. I don't know if I could transfer this to you. I feel I did a very poor job. I was trying, but my expression was at times not so serving my intention. When you pray, my dear devotees, you enter a different world. And in this world, your prayer is heard, and it is already fulfilled. To express it in the way, maybe we have some scientifically trained audience, you enter a quantum hologram in your prayer. That means an energy field where everything is connected and where you are connected with the Lord. And once you are in there, in that field, through this process which we have learned from Nectar of Devotion, your prayer is already answered. You may say it may take still some time to manifest, but the Lord has recorded it. It's recorded there, and it will be answered. All those precious prayers which you and me have said have found their way to the heart of Krishna. And one day they will be answered. It will be like rain which comes onto the seeds in your heart and which will make them grow. The seeds of your spiritual desire will grow for sure. The Lord is hearing. The Lord has a heart, and He will, and these prayers go directly into the heart. Some of you are parents. You know, if your child is really sincere, it may be a rascal. Like I remember standing before my mother, my mouth and face was covered with chocolate because I like to steal chocolate. And my mother said, "Chocolate is bad for your teeth. You should not eat so much chocolate." And that I would, if you, and you have this, you must have stolen the chocolate. I looked in the cupboard. It was all gone. I wanted to give it for the birthday of another child. And I would be covered with chocolate. And I said, "I have not stolen chocolate. I have not eaten chocolate." My mother would look at me, "What?" And then she would just, you know, she had been heavy. I have expressed in my, "You cannot eat so much chocolate. You cannot steal so much chocolate." Then I would go, "Mother, I didn't eat chocolate." I felt I would lose the affection of my mother. Then my mother would just grab me and put me on her lap and just kiss me. Yeah, I had a very affectionate mother. Yeah. Still have. She's still around. Yes, yeah, so this is what a human being does. How much more Krishna is there? We just have to be sincere in expressing it. We have to dare to look at that side of us which is conditioned. We can submit it. It's not something we should be afraid of, or we should think, "Oh no, my personality needs to be built up, more self-esteem, more self-confidence." Yeah, that is good in other fields, but here we are entering the world of Narottam, a beautiful new world with new concepts. Some of them sound paradoxical, but they work, and that will bring you very quickly. You can go very quickly on the path of mercy. It will go very slowly on the path of just endeavor, your own endeavor. Yes, this is what I wanted to say. I thank you very much. I would be very happy if there are some questions so that we don't have to run away. Immediately, I see one devotee in the back. I can't clearly see you. Who are you? Vipula. Vipula. Hare Krishna, Vipula. Yes. Hare Krishna.
There is a school, so to say, of people who say that when you pray for something, then we admit there is a lack. If I pray for money, it means I have no money. So if I pray in this way, I create even more lack of money. Mm-hmm. So instead, we should pray actually in the mood that we God supplies everything. And we just have to be grateful for that, what He supplied, and having already the money, so to say. We have already money, we have our opulence, and we're just very grateful that we express our gratefulness. And we see that many prayers from Bhagavatam, they follow this path more or less. And then our acharyas have, usually different moods, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his prayers. So maybe you could comment on that.
Yes, this is a very... Have you all understood the question? Good. I wanted to address this point in the last statement I made, where I said when you pray from the proper fear, a proper place, in the way your prayer is already fulfilled because it is heard. Now, in our line, we don't pray so much for material things because we know the Lord sees already our situation, and whatever He has placed into our situation, that is all right. He has a reason why He put this. There's a good reason to put it there. So, therefore, we don't really pray for material things because we feel whatever the Lord has given us, that is what the Lord has given to us. He has given this consciously and so on. And if there is a situation like, let us say, illness, severe illness, we go to good doctors. We think the Lord, if the Lord he wants us to be, active and use our intelligence, which the Lord has given to us. So therefore, when He sees we do this, He might help us through a good doctor, like a dentist, and so on. We don't say, "Okay, tooth pain is there. I will never do anything. I will accept it as the Lord's gift to me." No, no. We will understand. Let me become active to take care of this. And if Krishna wants, then it will be quickly over. That is about material things. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, where we asked Krishna for, please give me more advancement, please awaken feelings in me, please, let the same spontaneous feelings which are there in this world, let this attachment come to you. It's like this, Vipula. As we do pray for these spiritual things, not the material things, the spiritual things, then we... So difficult for me to explain it, but as we enter into this place, we already have it, what we pray for. In other words, as you pray for this, you can rest assured that you are heard and that it will be granted to you. And sometimes immediately, sometimes the Lord will find out the time. And in this way, you're praying from a place of, I don't have love, I don't have devotional feelings. But as you pray for these spiritual things, you magically have them already. It's amazing. The same holds true in separation. It's a delicate spiritual point. I'm so sorry that it is a little difficult at the end when we are of the lecture. It should be before the lecture, the difficult point should be. But please listen again. When you feel separation from Krishna, oh Krishna, where are you? In one way, it is different than you feel separation maybe from your best friend, oh Thomas, or if you are Mataji. I want to give examples where you don't immediately laugh because there is not the difficult subject of man-woman relationship there. If you are a Mataji and you a woman and you feel, oh, I miss talking to this person to whom I can talk really and I really always get something with it. Then if you feel separated, if your friend is in New York and you are in Berlin or Hamburg, there's a real separation. Of course, you may say, I'm remembering that person. So, but still, although you remember, it's a real separation. My dear devotees, when you feel separation from Krishna, He's already there. He's not lacking. If you enter into the real feeling of separation, it is amazing. I have seen devotees coming to Vrindavan and spending a terrible time in Vrindavan. Terrible. Too hot. Too many mosquitoes. Drinking water is not bad. Their intestines is infested with 20,000 dangerous species of bacteria, and so on. Terrible time. They are going for shopping, and then they are not finding what they wanted to get. Terrible. Some humor, but I'm quite serious. And then came the moment where they sat down, maybe at the banks of the Yamuna, maybe in the Radha Damoda temple, in the rooms of Srila Prabhupada, maybe before Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi Mandir, before his deity. And they sincerely prayed, and all of a sudden, and they opened their heart, oh, I'm such a beginner, I'm so much involved with material things, so that my material body and mind are just giving me a difficult time, even in Vrindavan. But I'm so much affected by this, that my Lord, I feel so useless, I feel so insignificant. My life so far is not very spiritual. I must admit this to you. I feel so separated from you. Immediately, my dear devotees, immediately, that means instantaneously, like Instagram, immediately, they felt very close to Krishna, heard from Krishna. So spiritually, this feeling of lacking is different than a material feeling of lacking, lacking material things. Yes, I think the school is even right. You should be not always looking into what you don't have. Look what you have, and your life will become more abundant. It's a material law. It's correct. But spiritually, it's different. It's a different world, Vipula, with different laws, with different traffic laws altogether. We need to understand it differently. There, the mood of separation is the highest mood which was preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And the more you enter into the mood of separation, the more you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Materially, yes, it doesn't make sense. But spiritually, when you think of Krishna, Krishna is there. When you forget Krishna, Krishna is not there. Hare Krishna. These are very subtle points. Vipula is interested in subtle points. So I think you should tell people, you know, who are coming for health advices or other advices, you are right. If you tell them always, if they always are in this mood of I am so sick, I lack good health, my relationships are so difficult, and I lack good friends, and so on. They will kill themselves if they continue to think like this. They will most probably get cancer after some time if they move on in this direction. And you should tell them, this is dangerous. Your mind kills you if you consider like this. See what you have. Do you have a few friends? You have one friend? No. I have half a friend. Good, you have half a friend. You know, and tell them the positive things, and it will grow. Wherever you focus your energy on, that will grow in the material field. No. Concentrate your energy on lacking, your lacking will grow. If you concentrate your lacking on I can do it, you will do it. It's just like that. That's the way the world is constructed. But if you want love of Godhead, not just material well-being, It's different rules. Oh Krishna, I'm so separate from you. And then the Krishna will say, are you? Hare Krishna. He must be, huh? Are you? That means he is there to say that. Hare Krishna. Any other question? I have seen here a question in this field. Was it similar, Krishna Kirtan? You answered it. Good. Mr. Prasida Nitai.
Hare Krishna. I would like to reference the strong verse and purport where it sounds like it is suggested to not endeavor for projects of influence in this material world because we will not be able to go back to Krishna until we give them up. Of course, we know about dovetailing, but this sounds like we might not be able to dovetail if we are endeavoring too much, because we are distracted, and we will not be able to approach Krishna with humility and urgency, especially if we are materially successful. Is it like that?
When you are bewildered, there is a verse which Krishna speaks on this subject. Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam taya parita shetasam. What? How does it call it? It ends with samado navidiyate. Those who are into sense enjoyment and are bewildered by such things, they cannot find the determination to serve you. No? Krishna is speaking like this. So you may have beauty and wealth. We have a lot of beautiful devotees with amazing, I'm speaking now of the men, amazing hairstyles. And if you go to London, woo, you will see it's something else. This with fully what is side bars, what? Side what? Side bends? Sideburns. Amazing, you know. Amazingly beautiful. I'm actually, if I speak like this, the next thing is I'm called. Bad names. No, I want to say, you can be well-trained, healthy. You can come from a high parentage. We have a few very, very aristocratic devotees from family. You can also be a wealthy person. And we have such rich devotees. So rich. And all this, and you can, what else is, be very learned. My God, do we have learned devotees. There are learned devotees who know, like this devotee from Ukraine, Brijbasi, with ending with Brijbasi. Amazingly learned. But if these things, to speak it in simple English, get to your head, and you become arrogant and puffed up, then they are obstacles. No? It's only when that attachment comes, then it's a problem. If the attachment and illusion is not coming, then it is an asset. And I have seen many, many devotees. I know one devotee. He is so rich that if you would hear it, your Anil Agrawal is a beggar in comparison. He's a rich man in England. But this devotee is just so humble. Not many people even know of him because he has has a very humble approach to him, to his life. And he wants to do good. He understands, if I have this wealth, I want to use it for the good of the world and He has taken on many, many, many projects in our movement, which he supports. Wonderful. I want to also Anil Agrawal. I know he has supported so much the Avanti schools. I don't want to speak anything which raises. You know, he really they give Lakshmi and so on. So that is Yukta Vairagya. No, you have, but you renounce part of it for Krishna's service, and then that's the right way to live in this world. It's about identifying, thinking you're the owner, and becoming bewildered and more greedy and more lusty and more disturbed. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I will look now to the Madhuri side. You are the time factor. Oh my God, 10, 15 minutes to 10. I can understand why I'm a torturer. I'm very sorry. Gaurahari, I can answer privately, but it's 15 minutes to 10, and we have a huge program before us. I will answer personally to you. I didn't know that. Sometimes one is so much into the subject matter that one loses all time. Please forgive me. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Go Premanandi. Hare Hare Bol.